This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
كل العلوم سوى القرآن مشغلة إلا الحديث وإلا الفقه في الدين.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على عبد الله ورسوله نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. As always, we begin with the praise of Allah Azza wa Jal. We ask Allah to exalt the mention and grant peace to our Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to his family and his companions. We're resuming the hadith classes after the month of Ramadan. During Ramadan, we had focused upon tafsir, giving more attention to the Quran and to tafsir. And now, inshallah ta'ala, what we're going to do is to continue our usual routine, which is a tafsir class on a Friday and a hadith class on a Tuesday. While we have still the restrictions in place and the masajid are still not open, the classes will still be going on from home. And inshallah ta'ala, once the masjid opens again, we will move the classes back into the masjid bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. Now, since it's been a month or more since we had a hadith class, I want to just go back a couple of steps and just remind ourselves. And while we're reminding ourselves, also learn a few more additional pieces of information that we've been talking about the zakah on az-zuru' wath-thimar, zakah on crops and certain types of fruits. And as it relates to this type of zakah, this falls under a wider category of what the scholars term what comes out of the earth. What comes out of the earth. And what comes out of the earth is broader than just az-zuru' wath-thimar. It's also going to cover things like rikaz, buried treasure, and things like that, which we're going to come to insha'Allah ta'ala. So for now, what we've been talking about in the previous classes was zakah that is due upon az-zuru' wath-thimar, upon crops which are planted in the ground, and certain types of fruits. And we had mentioned in the previous class that there are four kinds of these fruits and crops which the scholars have consensus upon, and they differed in other types. So the four that they have consensus upon, they are al-sha'ir and al-hinta and al-zabib and al-tamr. So they are wheat, barley, or barley and wheat, and raisins and dates. And all of the madahib, and indeed all of the scholars outside of the madahib in Islam, they unanimously agree that zakah is due upon these four types. But then they differed after that. And I didn't go too much into the difference of opinion, but it might be nice to do that right now just to allow everyone to get back, sort of remember the topic and sort of get back into the topic, inshallah. So they differed in four different opinions. The first opinion is that zakah is limited only to these four. There is no zakah due on anything other than barley, wheat, raisins, and dates. And the reason we say raisins, by the way, some people might listen and say, well, the word, why is it raisins particularly? We're going to come to that, inshallah. So here we have barley, wheat, raisins, and dates. And one of the opinions is that these are the only four. They include barley and wheat, which are the crops, and raisins, which obviously come from grapes, and dates, which are the fruits. That's it. Nothing else. And that opinion was an opinion that was held by some of the scholars of Islam outside of the four madahib. It's not an opinion that was held by the four, or it's not an opinion found within the four madahib, the four well-known madhabs in Islam. The second opinion is the opinion of the Malikiyyah and the Shafi'iyyah. And the Malikiyyah, in fact, before we do that, let's go to the opinion of the Hanafis, the Ahnaf. The opinion of Abu Hanifa himself, and it wasn't the opinion of his two students, Abu Yusuf and Muhammad ibn al-Hasan, but the opinion of Abu Hanifa himself is the exact opposite of this opinion. is that zakah is due upon every kind of fruit and crop that is grown in order to, for an-nama, in order to have more of it. Like in other words, you plant the seeds or you grow the trees in order to, every year you'll get, you know, a harvest out of it, and you're trying to increase them in number. And that is, you know, that's like what somebody does, like farming. Every single thing has zakah due upon it. So that would include all types of fruits. It would include all types of crops. It would include things that are staple foods and things that are not staple foods. All of it is included. And that was the opinion of Abu Hanifa rahimahullah ta'ala, himself, rahimahullah ta'ala. The next opinion is the opinion of the Malikiyyah and the Shafi'iyyah. And this opinion of the Malikiyyah and the Shafi'iyyah is broader than the first opinion and narrower than the opinion of Abu Hanifa. And that is that when they looked at these things, and the Hanbalis did the same thing. When they looked at these things, they said, what is there in common between barley, wheat, raisins, and dates? What's in common between barley and wheat and raisins and dates? What can we find that is in common between them? We can't say they're all crops because some of them are fruits. We can't say they're all fruits because some of them are crops. What is in common? And broadly speaking, those three madahib, the Malikiyyah, the Shafi'iyyah, and the Hanabila, they all found three things in common, but they differed over which of them are important. The three things they found in common, number one is they talked about al-iddikhar. And this one, all of those three madahib, they agreed upon, the Malikiyyah, the Shafi'iyyah, the Hanabila, they agreed that we should limit the zakah to the things which are storable. So Abu Hanifa didn't limit it to the things which are storable. He said everything that is grown from the earth, every kind of fruit, every kind of vegetable, every kind of crop, all of it is due zakah upon it. As for the Malikiyyah and the Shafi'iyyah and the Hanabila, they said the thing which is restricts here, which is in common in these four things, barley, wheat, raisins, and dates, is all of them are storable. In other words, they don't go off, they don't go bad. You can keep raisins for a very long time without them going bad. You can keep wheat for a very long time. You can keep barley for a very long time, and you can keep dates for a very long time. And typically they don't go bad. Typically they don't go bad. There might be some situations if they got water in them or something happened to them or a disease came, some sort of insect or pest got into them. But generally speaking, typically under normal circumstances, they're storable and they don't go off. And the Malikiyyah and the Shafi'iyyah and the Hanabila all agreed that the condition is we can expand it to everything which is storable. So it has to be storable. So what's not storable? Fruits, typically, most fruits are not, you can't store them, they go off. For example, let's talk about bananas, for example. You can't store them for a year, 2 years, whatever it is. They go bad, they're not like dates. Likewise, vegetables, for example, tomatoes. If you take a tomato from the tree, you can keep it for a while, but after a time, it's gonna go bad. Onions, another example, they go bad. Eventually they will go bad. So they said that these are not included. All the things that go off and go bad are not included in what the zakah is due upon. Abu Hanifa, he said all of them. He said, no, there is no such limitation. As for the Malikiyyah, the Shafi'iyyah, and the Hanabila, they said the first limitation has to be al-iddikhar, that it is storable. You can store it for a long period of time without it going off. And they said that is because all of these four things that are mentioned are all storable. And also the issue of the raisins and the grapes. And that is that grapes are not taken in zakah as grapes and dates are not taken as rutab, as fresh dates. Instead, the grapes are dried into raisins and the rutab, the fresh dates, are dried into dry dates. And only when they are dry are they taken in the zakah. If the zakah was due upon all of the fruits, then it would not be the case that grapes are taken as raisins and dates are not taken as rotab, they're not taken as soft dates. Instead, dates are taken when they have gone dry. That's one point that they mentioned. And they mentioned the ahadith that we had spoken about, the hadith of Abu Musa al-Ash'ari and the hadith of Mu'adh, when the Prophet ﷺ limited them to barley wheat, raisins and dates, and they said that all of these things are muddakhar. They're all things that are stored for a long period of time. What did Abu Hanifa bring as an evidence to support his claim that everything, the zakat is due upon all kinds of fruits and vegetables and crops? What did Abu Hanifa himself bring? Abu Hanifa brought, first of all, the generality of the ayah in Surah Al-Baqarah. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَنْفِقُوا مِنْ طَيِّبَاتِ مَا كَسَبَتُمْ وَمِمَّا أَخْرَجْنَا لَكُمْ مِنَ الْأَرْضِ. That's the first ayah that Abu Hanifa brought. He said, Allah Azza wa Jalla said, O you who believe, spend out of the good things that we have provided for you and whatever has come out from the earth. So he said, whatever has come out from the earth, Allah Azza wa Jalla in the ayah didn't limit it. So that's the first evidence that Abu Hanifa brought. The second evidence that Abu Hanifa brought, rahimahullah ta'ala, is an ayah in Surah Al-An'am, in which Allah Azza wa Jalla said, هو الذي أنشأ جنات معروشات وغير معروشات والنخل والزرع مختلفا أكله والزيتون والرمان متشابها وغير متشابه كلوا من ثمره إذا أثمر وآتوا حقه يوم حصاده ولا تسرفوا إنه لا يحب المسرفين. They brought this ayah in Surah Al-An'am in which Allah Azza wa Jal said, He is the one who has provided for you gardens, ma'rushat wa ghayr ma'rushat, and an-nakhl. Allah Azza wa Jal has provided an-nakhl, date palms, wa-zar, and the fields in which you, or the crops that you plant within the fields, which all taste, have different tastes, wa-zaytun, and olives, wa-rumman, and pomegranates, which are similar and dissimilar from each other. Some of them are similar to each other and some of them are not. Eat from the fruits when they are ripe and give its right on the day of harvest. And Abu Hanifa, he took the opinion that the words وَآتُوا حَقَّهُ يَوْمَ حَصَادِهِ, it refers to the zakah. Give the zakah on them. So Abu Hanifa rahimahullah ta'ala said, Allah Azza wa Jalla mentioned pomegranates. And when we say Abu Hanifa, that's because it's Abu Hanifa who represents that opinion within the madhahib. But actually, other than Abu Hanifa, there are many, Ibrahim al-Nakhai, Umar bin Abdul Aziz, before Abu Hanifa rahimahullah ta'ala, and after Abu Hanifa, from among the people of the madhahib, who chose this opinion. So it's not that there was one person who had this opinion, but that Abu Hanifa is like the representative of this opinion. And the evidence that he brought forward is the ayah in Surah Al-An'am. And the ayah mentions pomegranates and it mentions olives, both of which the Jumhur, the majority from the Malikiyah and the Shafi'iyah and the Hanabila, they don't count the zakat upon it. They don't count zakat upon it. So if they don't count zakat upon it, how did they answer the ayah, وَآتُوا حَقَّهُ يَوْمَ حَصَادِهِ? Give the right, I give the charity from it on the harvest day. They answered it in two ways. They said, first of all, this ayah is Makkiyah. The ayah was revealed in Makkah. And the detailed rulings of zakah were not revealed in Makkah, they were revealed in Medina. And therefore, you can't use this ayah as an evidence for types of zakah, because the ayah which here in Surah Al-An'am, as for the ayah in Surah Al-Baqarah, they said the ayah is general, it doesn't mention any specific details, and the hadith mentioned the specific details. But the ayah in Surah Al-An'am, they said it's Makkiyah. And therefore, the categories mentioned here are not categories of zakah, because the detailed rulings of zakah did not exist in Makkah. They said that this ayah is revealed about giving sadaqah on the day of harvest. That is when the poor people come on the day of harvest and they stand around and you're harvesting your grapes or your rutab dates, your soft dates, or you're harvesting pomegranates or watermelon or whatever it is. And there are some poor people. Give the poor people from that food. It doesn't refer to the zakah. It's not an ayah that was revealed about zakah. It was revealed about giving poor people sadaqah on the day of the harvest. And from the strongest evidences to support this is that the zakah is not taken on the day of harvest. The zakah is not taken ijma'an, by ijma', consensus. The zakah is not taken on the day of harvest. There is no ikhtilaf in this among Ahlul Ilm. As far as we know, there is no difference of opinion that zakah is not taken on the day of harvest. First of all, zakah, as it relates to crops, is taken when the produce or the crop has been cleaned and prepared. In other words, it's been separated, the wheat from the chaff and so on, and it's been prepared properly. That is when the zakah is taken. And as for dates and raisins, the zakah is not taken until they have become dry. So when the dates are taken from the tree, they are soft. They are rutab, soft dates, like the ones you store in the freezer. They're very, very soft. The zakah is not taken from them until they become dry. And this is bil ijma', by consensus. Therefore, the use of this ayah as an evidence for the zakah, this we say that there is some, in this it doesn't appear to be a strong evidence to put forward to use this ayah. As for the ayah in Surah Al-Baqarah, وَمِمَّا أَخْرَجْنَا لَكُم مِّنَ الْأَرْضِ, what we have brought out from the earth for you, the sunnah delimits this and specifies what kind of things. So the Quran is general, and the sunnah brings the specifics and the details about it. So we've taken now, we've understood that none of the four madhahib took the opinion that it's only barley, wheat, raisins and dates. And Abu Hanifa and those people before him and those who came after him, rahimahullah ta'ala, who took the opinion that it's everything. So now we're left in the middle. We said that the opinion that it's only the four, this is a weak opinion. The opinion that it's everything, we're not inclined towards it because the sunnah doesn't appear to limit it. Doesn't appear to keep it general in that way. The sunnah seems to limit it. And because of the fact that the ayah in Surah Al-An'am isn't relating to the zakah, it relates to giving poor people sadaqah on the day of the harvest. Okay, so now we are left with the Malikiyyah, the Shafi'iyyah, the Hanabilah. They both agreed that there are certain things we can look at that are in common between the barley, wheat, raisins and dates. The first thing that they saw that is in common, and they all agreed upon this, is al-iddikhar, that they can be stored long term. That's the first thing. And the three, they agreed upon this, but they differed upon the second condition. As for the Malikiyyah and the Shafi'iyyah, they looked at them and they said, the second condition is that it has to be qut. It has to be a staple food. And what we mean by a staple food is a food that you can live off on its own. They said barley, wheat, raisins and dates are all staple foods. You can live off them without anything else. And that's what people used to do. I mean, I'm not sure that I would really enjoy a diet of nothing but raisins, but they are suitable to be a staple food. There are some people, and we know the Prophet ﷺ used to live off of dates, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in many situations that months would go by, a fire would not be lit in the house of the Prophet ﷺ. They would survive upon dates and water, like Aisha radiallahu anha said. So dates are a staple food. You can live off of nothing but dates. Nothing except dates. Dates and water. And you can survive upon dates and water. And they in the countries where dates grow, they are often a staple food. they're considered to be something which is a standard, basic food that everybody would have. Wheat, even until today, wheat is a staple food. People make bread or pasta or whatever it might be with that wheat. And wheat is a staple food. It's possible to eat nothing but bread and water or whatever you make with wheat, pasta or whatever. You can survive off of nothing but that. So it's a staple food. And so the Shafi'iyya and the Malikiyya, they said that this, they said that the key thing here is that it should be storable and it should be suitable to use as a staple food. In other words, you can survive off of this food alone by itself, and it's suitable to use for that. Now, this brings us to an interesting question. All of this, in reality, we're looking at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There is a really big question to ask ourselves, which is, how much does this change with the change of time? And that could be in a number of ways. First of all, foods that can now be preserved that couldn't be preserved before. So for example, there may be now we can preserve foods much, much longer than we used to be able to preserve them before. So it may be that there are fruits and vegetables we can preserve for a very long time through modern methods. Could be refrigeration, it could be vacuum, storing them in vacuum sealed containers. It could be all different kinds of things. Certain varieties are grown because they don't go bad. That's a totally different issue that we have to look at later on, like to what extent do these things change? And this brings us to the next opinion. So as for the Hanabila, when they looked at this issue, the Hanabila, they said, we also agree with you that everything which is stored, but we don't agree with you that it has to be a staple food. They said, we don't find evidence that it has to be a staple food, an authentic hadith that tells us that it has to be a staple food. But we do have an evidence that it has to be measurable by volume. It has to be measured by volume. By volume. What's the evidence for that? It's the hadith we've already heard from the hadith of Abi Sa'id in Sahih Muslim, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لَيْسَ فِيمَا دُونَ خَمْسَةِ أَوْسَاقٍ مِّن تَمْرٍ وَلَا حَبٍّ صَدَقَةٍ. There is nothing less than five أوسق or أوساق, the wasq here. This wasq is a measure of volume. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, there is no zakah on anything less than a certain volume. So the Prophet ﷺ here limited the zakah to what is measured by volume. So they said, whether it's a staple food or not a staple food, we don't see that this is what matters. What matters is whether it's measurable by volume or not. Now this also relates to another problem in modern times, which is we weigh everything, let's be honest. We almost measure nothing in volume. The only thing that we measure in volume typically are liquids. As for all these things, it's very rare that we measure them in volume. We mostly measure everything by weight. But we look at what was measured in volume at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Hanabila, they said, everything which is measured in volume and is storable for a long time is due the zakat upon it. And they said that what is common between these things, between wheat, raisins, barley, and dates, is number one, they're measurable by volume. In the time of the Prophet ﷺ, they used to be measured in volume. So we know the zakah that is due upon them because the Prophet ﷺ said specifically how much is due, and he specifically set the nisab at five wasq. Five wasq. And a wasq is a measure of volume. Therefore, they said that it has to be measured by volume and it has to be storable. So if we go back through these four different opinions again, the first opinion, it's only barley, wheat, raisins, and dates. This is the opinion of the Zahiriyya and some of the scholars of Islam. The second opinion is the opinion of Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah ta'ala. And that is that it has to be, it can be anything which comes out of the earth, any crops and any fruits, any vegetables. The third and fourth opinions, all of them agreed that the key thing is that it has to be storable, but they differed over the second thing. The Shafi'i and the Maliki said it has to be a staple food, and the Hanabila said it just has to be measured by volume. Anything which is measured by volume and is storable. So how does that differ? Well, if you look at it, what you see is that the opinion of the Maliki and the Shafi'i has less things fall into it than the opinion of the Hanabila. So if we were to rank them by the number of crops that fall into to these conditions, we'd say the most vast of the opinions is the opinion of Abu Hanifa. It's then followed by the opinion of the Hanabila, because they include things that are not staple foods. They include things that are not staple foods. So they include things like cumin, black seed, all things that are not staple foods. Then the opinion of the Maliki and the Shafi'iyya, because they limit it to staple foods. So they would include things like lentils, chickpeas, because these a person can live off, a person can survive upon lentils. And then last of all would be the opinion of the Zahiriyya and some of the scholars of Islam, which is that it's limited only to barley, wheat, raisins and dates. And the opinion that we took to be correct, and the one that I believe to be closest to the truth, is the opinion of the Hanabila, the opinion of the Hanbalis, which is that the two conditions which are given consideration are al-iddikhar, that it's storable, and that it is measured by volume in the time of the Prophet ﷺ, because there is a dalil for this in an authentic hadith in Sahih Muslim, that the Prophet ﷺ specifically limited the zakah, that is upon fruits and crops, to those things that can be measured by al-wasq. Al-wasq, which is a measure of volume. And so I think that that has the most evidence for it. As for whether it's a condition to be a staple food, then this is based upon qiyas, it's based upon analogy, looking at what's common between them. But the evidence of the Hanabila that it is by volume is stronger because it has a hadith for it. And that is that the Prophet ﷺ, he mentioned, and we had already covered the hadith in Bulugh al-Maram, that the Prophet ﷺ, he said, لَيْسَ فِي مَا دُونَ خَمْسَةِ أَوْسَاقٍ مِنْ تَمْرٍ وَلَا حَبٍ صَدَقَةٍ. There is nothing in that which is less than 5 wasq of dates or seeds, any dates or grains, any sadaqah, any zakah. So it seems to me that, as we said, the opinion of the Hanabila, this is the stronger opinion here, and Allah Azza wa Jal knows best. I just thought we would take that. Actually, usually we don't go into that in so much detail, but I just thought we would take it just to get everybody back thinking on the same page about what we've been talking about. So we can continue with our last few hadith on this particular topic of az-zuru' wa thimar, of the crops and the fruits. So the hadith that we have the next hadith we have was an Sahl ibn Abi Hathmata radiyallahu ta'ala an, annahu qal, amarana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, idha kharastum fakhudhu wa da'u al-thuluth. فإن لم تدعوا الثلث فدعوا الربع رواه الخمسة إلا ابن ماجه وصحح ابن حبان والحاكم. سهل ابن أبي حثمة رضي الله عنه said, the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم commanded us, when you estimate, then take them, leaving a third. And if you don't leave a third, then leave a quarter. So this relates to an issue which is known as al-khars. And al-khars is estimation. And this hadith informs us that when it comes to dates, and the following hadith tells us we can take the following hadith at the same time. وعن عتاب ابن أسيد رضي الله تعالى عنه أنه قال أمرنا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أن يخرس العنب كما يخرس النخل ويؤخذ وتؤخذ زكاتها زبيبا رواه الخمسة وفيه انقطاع. He said that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم commanded us to estimate grapes in the same way that you estimate the date palms, and that the zakah of grapes should be taken as raisins. This is narrated by Al-Khamsa. It's narrated by the four, the Ashab al-Sunan, Tirmidhi and Nisa'i ibn Majah, and Abi Dawood, and it's also narrated in Musnad Imam Ahmed. And وَفِيهِ انْقِطَاعِ, it has a break in the chain. So the hadith is not authentic. However, the principle is valid. So this principle tells us that when it comes to fruits, that is the dates and grapes, that the amounts should be estimated while they are still on the trees. So how does it work? The kharis, who is the estimator, is sent out by the wali al-amr, by the person in control of the Muslims, in command of the Muslims, the ruler, sends out an estimator. And the estimator goes to the grapevines or to the date palm trees and looks at the raw fruit which is hanging on the tree, on the grapevines or on the date palms. And they estimate how much it will be when it is harvested and when it is dried. And these are experts. The kharis, the one who estimates this, is an expert. They have a lot of experience. And so they look at the tree and they say, this will be so many wasq of dates. This tree has so many, this vine has so many wasq of grapes. And then what they do is, the zakah is taken based on the estimate, not based on the actual harvest. So for dates and for grapes, the zakah is taken based on the estimate, not based on the actual harvest. So they're not actually put into containers and measured. Instead, they are based upon an estimation done by an expert who goes and looks and says, there are so many wasq on this tree or on this in this plantation, and this is the zakah that you owe. So that estimation, there are a number of issues we have to cover with regard to it. First of all, what is the benefit or what is the wisdom in this estimation instead of actually putting them into containers and measuring them out and taking the zakah precisely? They say that there are, the scholars they mention here, two or three benefits to this. The first benefit is that it said that it reduces the opportunity of the farmer to cheat the zakah. That's one of the things the scholars mention. Because at the end of the day, these things have to dry, right? The raisins and the dates, they have to dry. So that takes time for that to happen. And in that time, it could be easy to sell some of it, to get rid of some of it, and so on. And therefore, the estimate is taken before the harvest. That's the first thing. The second thing they mention, while that one is negative against the farmer, is that it also benefits the farmer. And the way that it benefits the farmer is the farmer can sell the fruits while they're still on the trees. The farmer doesn't have to wait till they dry and say, look, I can't sell them until they're dry because I have to wait until the zakah is due. Instead, the farmer can sell them as soon as the estimate has been made. So the farmer can sell them while they're still on the trees. And also, as we hear in this hadith, a third is left behind. So the person who estimates, they estimate, they minus a third or a quarter. The Prophet ﷺ said that the maximum that they can subtract is a third and the minimum is a quarter. And they don't count that as part of the zakah. Why is it they don't count that as part of the zakah? why is it not all of the grapes or all of the dates that are counted? Because the person needs to have some, the farmer needs to have some for his family. Maybe he wants to give some to his neighbors. Maybe there will be some poor people come by, like a wayfarer or a traveler on the road, and the farmer is going to give some to them. And generally also so that the estimate could be wrong, slightly wrong. I mean, the people who do it, the Kharis is a real expert. They're very accurate. But even still, to allow for the fact that the Kharis can make a mistake also, for this reason, what is left is a third or a quarter. In other words, let's just say that there's a plantation and the Kharis, the estimator comes and the estimator looks at it, the auditor, maybe you could call it, the auditor looks at the tree and says, okay, in this plantation, there are 50 wesq. In this plantation, there are 50 wesq. Or let's make it easier on ourselves. Let's say 60, just to make it easy, just to make the maths easy. The adjudicator or the auditor, the estimator comes and says, I believe that there are 60 wesq in this farm. 60 wesq of dates or 60 wesq of grapes. What happens? And that's after they're dry, because the estimator knows how the size will change when they're dry and everything. After they're dry, there will be 60 wesq. So now the estimator has a choice. Either they leave a third for the farmer. Either they leave a third for the farmer. And if they leave a third for the farmer, that means that 20 wesq will be left for the farmer and 40 will be the amount on which the zakah is taken. The zakah will only be taken on 40. 20 will be left for the farmer and the zakah will only be taken on 40. Or 15 will be left for the farmer and the zakah will only be taken on 45. So now, how much the percentage is, as we said, if it is, it depends on whether the farmer is irrigating the land or not. And if the farmer is irrigating the land, it will be 5%. And if the farmer is not irrigating the land, then it will be 10%. And here, that 5% or 10% will only be taken from, we said 40 or 45 out of 60. It will not be taken out of the whole 60. And that's similar to the issue of money and things like that. When you have a salary, at the end of the day, some money you spend on your rent, some money you spend on your family and so on, your needs and what have you. So at the end of the day, when you spend that money, you don't pay zakat upon it. So similarly, the farmer, some of the fruits they're going to use. They're going to use for their neighbors, for their friends, as gifts. They're going to give to the poor, maybe as a general sadaqah. They're going to give to the wayfarer who comes through the farm, maybe, and eats from the fruits. They're going to keep some to feed their family with. So ultimately, that is their quarter or third is for them. And the zakah is only counted against a maximum of three quarters and a minimum of two thirds. So when is the time due for the zakah on az-zuru' wa thimar? When is it due? It's due upon cleaning and preparation when it comes to crops, and when the fruits have dried, when it comes to raisins and dates, when the fruits have dried. So when they've been prepared, the shells have been taken off, they have been cleaned, and they have been sort of organized and prepared, then the zakat becomes due. And if it's done by estimate, then the estimate is written down, and simply the person comes when the crops are ready. It might be after a few days after the harvest. It might be weeks after the harvest if it's in the case of dates. Once they have dried and so on, then the person comes and says, your estimate was such and such an amount. And then they take the estimate. They take the estimate. One issue is remaining that we haven't covered, and that is what happens if the crops are damaged before the zakah is collected. Because with an estimate, that's one negative thing, right? With an estimate, is that what happens if your crops are damaged before the collection? So you've got an estimate written that you owe us 10% of 20 wasq, for example. So that's 2 wasq. You owe us 10%. Your calculation was 20. Let's say, for example, the total was 30. A third is for you, so that's 10 for you. 20 we take the zakat upon. That 20 that we take the zakat upon, we're going to take 10%. So we're going to take 2. But when they come to collect, they say, okay, you owe us 2 wasq. You owe us 2 wasq. The farmer says, my crops got destroyed. There was a bug or a plague, locusts or something like that, or there was a disease afflicted my crops and my crops got lost, or there was a fire, my crops got lost. So what's the ruling here? The ruling here is whether or not it was perhaps what we can call a natural disaster or something that was out of the control of the farmer. If it was a natural disaster or something that was out of control of the farmer, then there is nothing for the farmer to pay, as long as the farmer was not negligent. As long as the farmer was not negligent and not blameworthy, and like a natural disaster, then there is nothing for the farmer to pay, and the zakat is cancelled for the farmer once it's proven and shown that it was a natural disaster, something that wasn't in the hands of the farmer, and the farmer wasn't negligent in relation to that. So that concludes what we wanted to speak about as it relates to az-zuru' wal-thimar, as it relates to the fruits, which are dates and raisins, and the crops. And we said that this can be expanded to everything which is stored and everything which was measured by volume in the time of the Prophet ﷺ. So having concluded our discussion on that, we're next going to go on to discuss the topic of jewelry, and we're also going to talk about buried treasure and that which is found inside of ruins and what the zakat is due on that. That will be in our next class, insha'Allah ta'ala. And that will bring us to a new part of Kitab al-Zakah, which is Zakatul Fitr. This is something we had obviously in Ramadan made a video about, but we'll talk about it in more detail. And voluntary sadaqah also. And then we're going to talk about the division of sadaqah and so on. So there's still a lot to go in Kitab al-Zakah. But that's what Allah Azza wa Jalla made easy for me to mention in this lesson. And Allah Azza wa Jalla knows best. Wassalatu wassalam ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.
Jazakum Allah khairan for watching. Please subscribe, share, and you can visit muhammadtim.com.